All right, I believe you should be able to hear me fine. Check, check, check. Yeah, should be good. All right, we're going to go. All right, child splitting. Oh, this is an article. This comes out of a lot of the information that Sam Vaknin and Dr. Craig Childress, but this is heavily focused on Vaknin's work. And I have links in here where you can go and listen to more. The whole quiz is, there's like two little 8-minute videos in the course that's attached to this. All right, here we go. Child splitting is a psychological phenomenon where a child begins to perceive the world in dichotomous black and white terms. This cognitive distortion often stems from inconsistent parenting practices, where a child is exposed to fluctuating emotional availability. Availability is key, because see, you don't have to come from a poor family. You can come from a very wealthy family, and your parents didn't pay attention to you. They weren't available. So fluctuating emotional availability and mixed signals. Such inconsistency can significantly impact a child's emotional and psychological development, leading to an oversimplified understanding of complex situations and relationships. Bad mothers, I should have really called this dead mothers. It's a better term. He's changed it to dead mothers. I'll just use it bad, what I have written here. Bad mothers, a critical factor contributing to child splitting, occurs when a mother or primary caregiver displays unpredictable behavior in her interactions with the child. This could manifest as altering between affection and neglect, or varying in responsiveness to the child's needs. The inconsistency disrupts the child's sense of stability and security, fostering an environment where the child struggles to develop a coherent self-concept and balanced view of others. In other words, what's happening here, as this attachment system, think of it as a scale. See, it's hard. You can't touch these things, you know. It's subjective, and it kind of changes with everybody. But think of it as a scale in your brain, where when people start doing, let's say, inappropriate or scary things or rude things or just, you know, anything negative, there's certain levels on that you need to have. You know, if you have a scale that you're dependent on subconsciously, it should work right to where someone could like call you a cuss word, like F you, but they're still your friend, right? You're not going to like cut them off out of your life because they cussed at you when they got mad. As a matter of fact, you realize they got mad, anger. And so you adjust that, attachment system, because there's still value there. You don't, you know, the guys hurt you or the girls hurt your feelings or whatever. And so, yeah, you might pull back a little bit, but it's not like you're sensing this person, this is death, you know, survivability, and I got to just cut you off. And this is what's going to happen to your child if you're giving that child like mixed signals, and sometimes you're kind and then you're cussing them out and they don't know what to do. So, you know, they got that little scale that's being formed, and it's freaking bouncing back and forth, back and forth. And instead of getting nice little buffers on each end, you know, the appropriate little markers of padding, it just gets blown out and it's super sensitive. And then that's the way you treat other people. Can you imagine getting married? Because this happens, by the way, this happens to a lot of people. You get married and you have no idea this is going on inside of you, nor does your partner. And then what about if your partner has, you know, they've had some childhood damage too, and they got stuff going on in them, and you're both clueless. I mean, that's disastrous. All right. Understanding the dynamics of child splitting and bad mother is crucial for parents and caregivers and mental health professionals. It provides a foundation for recognizing the early signs of psychological distress and implementing strategies to foster a more consistent and supportive environment. By addressing these issues early, it is possible to mitigate the long-term impact on a child's emotional well-being and facilitate healthier cognitive and emotional development. So speed in catching this is key. You know, the longer this goes on, when a child like is split over you and sees you as all bad, the longer it goes on without interruption, the more set in stone. It's like drying cement. And then, you know, it 20, 30 years can go by, and that's very normal. Something else, too, that I was going to say, it can also be reversed very quickly because the parent and child bond, that's a bond that cannot be formed with any other human being. This is all, and what I'm telling you, you go research this and look it up yourself, but it's a bond like no other. You can't have a stepdad or a stepmom come in and replace that bond, and it's ready to be rekindled very quickly. All right, so now let's get into this triangulation. Now, this is huge, and it's happening a lot, and I don't think people recognize it, and I think parents need to be educated to be aware of it when they're, you know, parenting or arguing or anything. If they're aware of this and what this does, then they won't do it when they sense that. We've all done this. I mean, in every divorce and every breakup with children, there is going to be a little bit of this, but it should be recognized and stopped immediately. And there's different degrees of this and different sins, like a generational boundary. If you triangulate across a generational boundary, in other words, the tone in your home before all of this happened, Father, was probably something like this. You were dad, you were leading, and so normally, you as a dad, you'll be the leader of the house. And when this stuff sets in, and it doesn't happen fast, this is actually happening over a period of time. So if one of the parents brings the other child into a decision-making process against the other parent, that's critical. So now that's a generational boundary that's been crossed. And so that child from that point on will have a sense of entitlement, as if, you know, they don't have to listen. You can understand how this happens. And this can happen, like I said, subtly and slowly over time. And if you don't recognize that it's happening, you can't, you know, call foul and say and have a conversation, a civil conversation about it before it turns into something really sour over the years. So it's a tactic that's used. And again, I don't even think the person that's doing it knows what they're doing. This is just, again, this is how they've been taught to solve problems, you know, to create alliances, and all about self-preservation, surviving. All right. So triangulation, a subtle tactic, sleight of hand is key. I still am getting older, though. This won't happen again. All right. Even a well-placed eye roll to a child directed at the other parent is very effective. Triangulation is a prevalent tactic in dysfunctional family systems. By the way, family systems is an actual term. It's the real parental alienation that you need to look at. The parental alienation, quote unquote, is a syndrome that does not exist legally or in the psychological manuals, because it's already in clinical psychology. You have family systems, you have triangulation and the attachment system and personality disorders. You get two or three of those together, and you know, you got 10% of the population that's either classified as really narcissistic or borderline. They call it personality. It's all over the internet. Just so happens that 10% of the divorces are high conflict. I wonder why. The same numbers, you know, equal out. And they treat children the same way. So it's kind of a possessive thing. And this thing here that is going on, triangulation, is what they discovered is happening. That is whittling away at your child's alliance with you. All right. So the manipulation typically involves a third party to disrupt the direct communication and relationship between the two other family members, and that could be a child. By doing so, the triangulating individual can control the narrative, sow discord, and maintain a position of power within the family unit. The mechanisms of triangulation often manifest in subtle and overt ways. For example, a parent may involve a child in conflicts with the other parent, positioning the child as a confidant or ally. This tactic not only puts undue emotional pressure on the child, but also erodes the trust and bond between the other parent and the child. Similarly, siblings may be pitted against each other with one child being favored over the other, leading to jealousy and competition. Within families, triangulation can have profound effects on relationships. It fosters an environment of instability and mistrust, where genuine communication is often replaced by feel it happening. And it's subtle. Notice I put in here, I said even a well-placed eye roll. In other words, when you signal to your child that you know, the other parent's stupid, or the other parent is wrong, or you make fun, anything like this, when they see you disrespect the other parent behind their back, oh my gosh, that's not good. And then it gets deeper where they can actually pull that child across what's called a generational boundary. In other words, starting out in the family, the parents are always triangulated, which is healthy, against the child, which is the way it needs to be. Matter of fact, if you were taught well, you're probably doing this right now in your family, you tell your kids, look, you don't you dare come in here and ask me if you can have a drink of soda or whatever, when I just heard you go and ask your mother if you could, and she said no. So you see what I mean? That's healthy triangulation, because now the child runs into a roadblock. Ugh. They're both, you know, focused on the same target. And if I go against them, they're both going to be against me. And this is great. This keeps the child in bound. They have boundaries now, and you both are seen as one parent. As soon as triangulation happens, you might have a parent get into an argument with the father. And if there's another, let's say a teenager child's in the room, if that teenager is pulled into one side of the parent's conversation and made to get on their side and present evidence against the other party, this is bad. It's bad for that, for you to even be arguing like this in front of the teenager, because it's so easy for this to happen. So any time that the parent, and like I said, it's subtle, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly. And if you're not aware of it, then you're not going to be able, you know, to step in there and tell your wife, hey, this is wrong. Now, if you're married to a wife that has grown up with, you know, an environment that has caused this, man, just think of how much trouble and repair and fixing you could do, the both of you, if you both were aware of these things inside of each of yourselves. Isn't that crazy? You're going through, I just can't believe it. With all of this knowledge out here, I can't believe these, you know, any counselor that's counseling people getting married, these kids getting married, if they don't tell them that, look, you need to go and figure out where you have been, you know, put together wrong by your parents. Your brain is not thinking right. And if you have no idea what those things could be, if you've never thought of it, guaranteed you're going to have problems, because there is things. We each have these things, but at different degrees and different levels, you know. And if you don't know, it's going to affect every relationship you're in. That thing that's broken in you, that you, it feels normal to you, totally feels normal. The other person is like, oh my God, this is crazy, because it's not normal. But you just don't recognize it's not normal. It feels normal to you. So, yeah, when you see this happening, stop it, and stop it nicely but firmly. All right, so within families, triangulation can have profound effects on relationships. It fosters an environment of instability and mistrust, where genuine communication is often replaced by manipulation and deceit. Parents who engage in triangulation can create an atmosphere of unpredictability, leaving children feeling insecure and confused about their roles and relationships within the family. Think about that. I mean, you've got this pecking order and everyone has their roles, and now you have the bosses of the company bringing you into the break room, talking in the closet about the other boss. I mean, do you see? It eventually rots the whole family corporation out from underneath itself over time, just like it would with any company with division. The psychological consequences of triangulation for children are significant Children caught in the middle of such dynamics may experience, I think I've already read this, the inconsistency and manipulation inherent in triangulation can lead to difficulties in forming healthy relationships outside of the family, with friends. We talked about that. I told you it's with every relationship. As the child may struggle with trust and communication. Think about the trust that is damaged now between the other parent that you have, you know, you've cohorted, you've become chums with one child against your husband or wife. I mean, man, there is no trust in that family. That's horrible. So it can, moreover, the child's perception of family roles, here we go, this is how it starts repeating, and relationships can be skewed, potentially perpetuating dysfunctional patterns into adulthood and into their marriage and so on and so forth. In conclusion, understanding the role of triangulation in family dynamics is crucial for recognizing and addressing these harmful patterns. By identifying and mitigating triangulation tactics, families can work towards healthier, more transparent relationships that foster emotional well-being and stability for all members. And, of course, all about the kids. Now, you're going to have a hard time working on these things with each other if you're both still hiding, or even if one of you is hiding. Hiding meaning that the reason that these things do not get addressed, and we'll get into that later when we get into this, the next thing that's coming is what's called introjects, which is the internal objects that you create. I think the audio feed went out, but I was explaining, I'll hear it up when we're done, I was explaining how when you meet somebody, you take a snapshot picture of them, and then based on all the information that you have, which isn't a lot, but and you keep adding to it all the time, you'll keep adjusting it, but you form like an artificial, intelligent representation of that person. You assign characteristics, personality traits. I mean, you'll animate that thing in your head, and you'll have a conversation with your spouse or your husband, and that thing in your head that you're talking to and watching them act and casting judgment on, that thing is not real. It does not exist. That's just a thought that you've created in your brain. It only exists in your brain. And with every mental disorder, every one of them, it is always 100% confusion between the internal object and the external object. See, women who snap into this and they start using these defense mechanisms like splitting, alienating you, you know, cutting off like that, they're doing this for self-preservation. This is how they were taught to self-preserve. So their mother shared with them that, hey, when things get bad and da-da-da, this is how you make things right. And so they're just repeating it. So you don't have, you're really fighting an uphill battle. You can't win against this because there's nothing to like negotiate through. Does that make sense? The person actually has to become aware that they have things inside that were formed by their parents where they had no control over. It's being humbled. You're going to have to get a little humble. This even means your good attributes that your parents gave you, you really can't take credit for those, right? You really can't. So in the same way, until you get to the point where you're not hiding and you stop saying, well, no, I don't have a disorder or I don't have tendencies, quit calling them disorders. It's just stinking thinking. And I mean, you got to do things really, really, really bad for you to have a disorder. And you go and take these tests and you might not get, you know, I hate these tests, by the way, and they cost thousands of dollars. I've taken them. They're so subjective. I mean, man, you could have different results one week to the next. But anyways, for you to be classified with a disorder, you've got to be really, you know, like hardcore on one of these traits to where you're just practicing it all day long. But you always can have traits of narcissism, traits of histrionic, traits of, you know, all these terms that they have. We all have traits. You know, we all have tendencies where We shouldn't, you know, we're going a little bit far in this direction over here, which we keep going a little bit too far, a little bit more, and we will be crazy, but we're not there yet. So there's, you know, like I said, it's very subjective. But at the end of the day, stopping this is what's important. Now, this is the last thing. This is mitigation. Addressing child splitting and bad mothers requires a multifaceted approach that incorporates therapeutic interventions. You know, it really doesn't until it gets so bad. Like, if you get a hold of this now, if you're the dad or the new husband, and you see some of the stuff going on, you can stop this. You can intervene, and you can start watching, you know, videos and educating yourself and educating your wife and your kids and stopping it. All right, these interventions aim to establish a consistent and emotionally stable environment for children, which is crucial for their development and well-being. One of the primary therapeutic approaches is family therapy. Now, what is good about this and what is hopeful? 1 week, 4 days, I think is the record, 2 to 4 days. So a severely alienated child and parent. There's people, when you go to the A-team section here, like Dorsey Peters and some other people, I've got like 4 more reunification experts. They know how to approach this with a clinical psychology approach, and they've devised their program based around Dr. Craig Childress's approach. He's a clinical psychologist, and it gets down to solutions and facts, and now we got the solution here, we're going to execute. And he does this between both parents. And let me see, my point here is, when it gets to this point, you've got to have somebody like this come in and put these pieces back together. But within 2 days of your alienated child, you know, having these conversations and being guided with the therapist and the other parent, even within 2 days, the child, that bond I was telling you about, they can be reconnected, and it's not going to feel awkward and weird, and it comes right back. Now, you're going to have to work on, you know, reestablishing it and everything else, but it's not going to be strange, and there is hope that father and child bond that you're missing and you know is critical for your child will come right back with the right approach when it gets bad like it is, which is why I think you'd probably be listening to this now, because it is bad. Parenting techniques play a pivotal role in mitigating these issues. Consistent parenting practices, such as establishing clear rules and boundaries. See, again, you can figure all this stuff out for yourself and start implementing it when it gets so bad that a counselor is having to, you know, give you paperwork and send you both home with guidelines. Well, sometimes that's what it takes. They can provide children with a sense of security and predictability. Additionally, positive reinforcement and consistent disciplinary measures may help children understand the consequences of their actions, reducing confusion and emotional turmoil. See, children can do this to their siblings, too, and that's not good. Effective communication strategies are essential. Like I said, when these people go through these reunification, you can go and read about them. There's a lot of controlled communication that they're having with the child and both the parents, and, you know, getting rid of this whole built-up, scary, you know, this parent's not safe. Open and honest communication between the parents,
Mac, like, the human says.
Like asking... Like
it's bad.
Like asking,
Mac the human says,
why?
Yep.
Why?
It's bad.
Are you not talking to your dad? Can you list for me? You know, this is what they'll do. They'll have the child list. They'll give them a whole piece of paper. Just, and you know, if they can't list it right now, they might even send them home with that assignment and come back, and the child will write down all these silly things. Silly things. My dad took my iPhone away. What, you know, that's why I won't talk to him, and just silly things like that. In other words, if this is happening to you, your child really doesn't know, have a clear answer why they're not talking to you. You see, they're caught in cognitive dissonance. So it takes a lot of structured, guided pros that know how to get through to the child and to you. But when you do have someone that's good, the point I want to make is that bond comes right back. All right, what else is important here? And those people are on my site, and they're elsewhere on the internet, and they're different from the courtroom people that will be assigned to you, like these, I forget the name they call them, but they're very costly. You know, that's a team that the judge will appoint you to, and it's usually they're all palsy-wowsy with the court, and they're going to end up charging you a ton of money and stretch it out forever with no real, you know, quantifiable solution. It just goes on and on and on. All right, support groups. That's kind of what this community is about. What else? Let's see. In conclusion, addressing splitting and bad mothers requires a comprehensive approach. Yes, it does. Therapy. By implementing these strategies, families can create a more stable and supportive environment. Yes, they can. Now, if the missus is not going to do that with you, you're not going to get a stable environment, and you're still going to have to learn about this, because you're going to have to untangle yourself, because this will drive you absolutely crazy if you don't understand why your children are treating you this way. I mean, my gosh, you know you love your children, and for them to do this, you don't want to get into the situation where you're feeling angry, and then like it's a head trip because you're like, man, this child is 17 years old. They're still a baby, but yet they're acting like an adult, right? And treating you like a pissed off adult, and they won't talk to you and all that. It's not their fault. Yeah, it's not their fault at all. Not a bit. I'm serious. They have nothing to do with this. Most of the time, that child, because you and mom couldn't fix things, that child is scared to death. And when this starts happening, now you know this triangulation. You see, basically, there's sides that are being formed. Now there's a home team basketball team that was the home team, and everyone went home and cheered when they won and cried together in the locker room when they lost. But now the home basketball team is being split into two regional teams at war with each other. That's what's happening to your child. And the child has to pick one of you. And so if one parent has been bad-mouthing you, triangulating, putting doubt, you know, saying things like, oh, dad is always this way, dad is always that, you know how it goes. Well, now the child is scared and they don't have trust in one parent. You know, remember I told you that when things are going good, they see one parent. When they see mom and dad, it's one parent. When things are bad, it's two parents now, and they have to pick a side. So they've picked, and usually they'll pick the parent that's going to be the alienated parent. They're going to pick the strongest parent. That's also something they figured out too, because like, man, they know one parent can't take this, and the other parent, now they can't be disloyal. You see, they can't be disloyal to the only parent that they have, because God forbid they'll lose the only parent that in their mind they have right now, because you have been, you know, demonized. You've been put in a place that's not good. But there's a way out of it. And if you can't get out of it with your kids because they're just so entrapped in it and this and that, you can get out of it in your mind and realize that what people say about you doesn't mean a damn thing about you. It just, if it's not the truth. And that's where you need to get to too. So I would take this quiz. I was going to go through this with you, but I'm not, because of all the problems with the internet connection and all that. But this would be a good follow-up, and it's not just a bunch of questions. There's like actual things, like here, I've already done this, but you would go here and see it's multiple answers could be correct. So this is, I've really thought about these questions.
I'm Sam Vatnin, and I'm the author of...
And you'll go through and watch the appropriate, it's only like, what, 7 minutes? I've made sure these are short. You can't really handle more than 25 minutes, which is why I'm getting ready to end this anyways right now. But you'll go through here, and you can stop. I have, I've spent a lot of time to like answer why the question's wrong. So if you get something wrong, I think I have to go back and finish all of this. That's right. And then I'll get to the quiz. But the quiz is that the questions are really structured, will make you think. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to make you think about these concepts that you can't touch or anything like that. Yana, I hope you learned something, and take this quiz. I think you'll really like it. It'll really help you understand this, and it'll keep building. The next one that's coming out is going to address the interjects.
Mac the Human says.
And objects. Take care. You have a good night.
Mac the Human says.
Talk to you later.
Peace. Bye-bye.